turning your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to take just the next few moments to look into God's Word. But just so thankful for Brother Adam, especially in his faithfulness and willingness to do so much, a lot of work and time and effort. This is a busy time of year for him anyway. But I will tell you this, he made the schedule. So if it seemed like he was up and down a lot, that was his doing, not mine. But he's in good shape. He'll be fine. But praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 1, look with me at verse 18. We're going to read verses 18 through 25 this morning. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was reminded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall be save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the beautiful songs this morning and the music that was done and given to your glory. Father, thank you for each one. Lord, just what a joy to sing praises to your name. I pray now, Father, as we look into your word, that you would just help us, Father, to focus on the true reason, the true meaning of Christmas for these next few moments. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Emmanuel, the literal meaning of the word Emmanuel is God with us. During Christmas, we think of gifts, especially if you're a young person, and I still love gifts. I enjoy getting them, but I love to give them. I really do. But the greatest Christmas gift ever given was that of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The gift of him being with us, literally what the name Emmanuel means, the gift of God's presence with us. You think about what one person's life and influence has on the world. I think sometimes of a movie, and it's an oldie, I don't typically promote movies or anything from the pulpit, nor am I this morning, but the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And if you've seen it or you can think about it, but I'll give you a quick reminder. Basically, someone is having a really bad couple of days, right? And he thinks, boy, I wish I would never have been born. And then the rest of the movie goes on to realize the effect of his life that his life had on so many people. And the effect that his life and influence he had. And at the end, he realizes the value of one person's life and imprint on so many. There's been no person that has ever walked this earth that has had greater or stronger or more impact on every life than that of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel. You see, part of his living and coming to earth was that he would live 100% human. He would understand what we go through. He would understand the trials and afflictions that humanity deals with every day. He understands us. But yet Jesus chose to come to earth. He came to help us, to live with us. He chose to suffer for us, ultimately to die for us so that we might be saved. Sometimes the Christmas season is difficult for some people for varying reasons. Sometimes they feel alone and set apart from friends or family for a number of reasons. However, if we have God with us, if we have Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we understand Emmanuel, we're never going to face another day alone, because the presence of God is always with us if we have salvation. Hebrews 13:5 reminds us, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that's just mentioned to make us feel warm and fuzzy. It's a promise of God. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what we do, no matter what sins in life we might commit, no matter how far we may stray from the things that we know we should do, if we have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, if we have asked Him into our hearts to save us, He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. If you feel alone, if you feel empty, if you feel downtrodden, realize God hasn't left you. The challenge or question would be, have you left Him? A lot of times we try to put God in a box. We try to set Him aside and leave Him for only certain parts of our life. You see, that's not what He commands us. That's not what He calls us for in our life. We are to give our all to Him daily, dying daily to self. We need to remember that the presence of God changes lives. The presence of God changes lives. When you think of Scripture, you think of the impact that Jesus Christ had on lives very directly while He was here on the earth. He caused the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk, the deaf to speak. But the greatest miracle Christ ever did, you know what it was? Was when He died on the cross and He rose again and He made a way of salvation for all humanity. It's the greatest gift that could ever have been given. It's the greatest thing that anything could have, or that could have ever been done for humans today. 1 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Once we die in our sin, once we have asked Christ to forgive us for our sins and come into our hearts and to save us, that's that old sin nature. And because of the forgiveness, because of the shedding of Christ's blood upon the cross, those sins are washed away. And we're to be a new creature in Christ. There should be a change in our life. I read a note that a young lady had written a pastor. And it was a young girl, probably around 5, maybe 6 years old, just learning to write and put things together. But it read this, and she had a very wonderful grasp of the change that had happened because she had experienced it in the life of her family. It said, Dear Pastor, thank you for this church and for your preaching. I know that you work very hard to do that stuff, right? Sometimes it feels like stuff, doesn't it? But now we see her heart. We are very happy you are here. This year, my dad learned not to drink and smoke and how to be nice. Thank you, and God bless you. Love, Anna. You see, the presence of Christ in your life doesn't end at salvation. We're to grow closer to Him. We're supposed to grow closer to Christ every single day, and then He will change our lives. He'll change who we are. That's the change that we all need. That's the change we all have to understand. The gift of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. But you see, it doesn't just stop with the story of the manger and the baby. We know that God, that Christ is also the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. In our society today, there are many who are fearful for a variety of reasons, whether it be because of illness, whether it be because of social and economic unrest. The people fear a great deal. We are a fear-driven society, and not getting political in any way, shape, or form, but we must not allow fear to overcome us. Why? Because God's Word tells us that Christ does not bring the spirit of fear. That is not of God. There are three times in the Christmas story where that phrase, fear not, is used. The first with Mary. Do you think when Mary found out she was pregnant that she was scared? She knew what could happen in the days and the time. She could be put away. She could even be persecuted. She could potentially even be killed, and legally so. But the angel comes and says, fear not, Mary. Then we see with Joseph, where he was appeared to an angel by an angel as well in a dream, and again said, "Fear not." And that was part of the scripture that we read this morning. And thirdly, and this is in some ways probably my favorite "fear not," and that is to the shepherds, right? They're abiding, they're sheep in the field. It says, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For born unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What a beautiful, beautiful image that is. That's going to go along with our message on Christmas Eve, the meaning behind the manger, that "fear not" with the shepherds. But we're not supposed to fear. We're supposed to find peace when we surrender to God's sovereignty. Do you need peace in your life? Do you have unrest in your heart? Luke chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." You see, because God makes the impossible possible. God takes those things which are out of our earthly hands and those things that we can't control, and He can make all things possible for His good, for His glory, within His will. But again, we have to surrender. We've got to give ourselves. We've got to give our hearts, our minds, our lives to God. Sometimes Christ shows up in unusual packages. Sometimes God shows up in our lives in unusual ways, or unexpected ways. I think about Bethlehem, again, the Christmas story, and where there was no room at the inn. We oftentimes say that. We talk about that with Mary and Joseph. But there was no room. Oftentimes there's people who have no room for Christ. I remember a story. Many of you know my background, working retail for many years. Well, the highlight of the retail year, of course, is Black Friday. Some of you may be Black Friday shoppers. As a matter of fact, I know some of you are because I saw you out there, right? You're Black Friday shoppers. And there was, remember a story one time of a man who came very early for Black Friday. And to much of his surprise, the line was much longer than expected. And so he went and he tried to work his way towards the front of the line. Each time he was being pushed. He tried again. He was pushed out and people would kind of yell at him and give him dirty looks. The third time he went, someone was just almost violent and swore at him and told him to get away. And then one of the people in line heard this. He said, "I'm going to try one more time. And if they don't let me up there, I'm not going to open the door." You see, they were refusing entry to the one person that could open the door. They were refusing to let in the one person that could let them inside that shop to buy whatever treasures that they were after. We think about that, and it's humorous, and it is. And again, if you're a Black Friday shopper or worker, you understand that at a different level. But if we take that thought, and we take that principle to heart, do we ever tell Christ, "No, I'm not going to let you in. I'm not going to let you have control. I'm not going to let you have influence on my heart or on my life"? You see, that's what Bethlehem did. They said they didn't have room, they didn't have time, and they didn't have interest for the one they needed the most. My challenge to you this morning is this. Do you have room in your heart for Jesus? Do you have time in your day to do something for Him? Do you have an interest or a desire for the things of God? When we think about Christmas, we think about all the wonderful things that come along with it. But do we have room in our hearts for Christ? When we say that Christ came to earth, He came to fulfill many scriptures. But He came with one sole purpose in mind, and that is to save the world. There are many names of Christ, but one of the greatest is Redeemer. He came as the perfect present. Now, I have up here this morning a present, and it's wrapped and it's very pretty. I don't want to get kids excited. There's nothing that good inside, so don't get too distracted. When we think of Christ and Christmas, when we think of the gift of salvation, salvation is just that. It's a gift. Coming to know Christ, your relationship with Him, it's a gift only given by the Father. I want to share this thought with you this morning. I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that God's desire is for every person that has ever lived, who is living, and whoever will live, His desire is for them to be saved. I believe that. He wants them to spend eternity with Him in heaven. But you see, they have to make the choice. That's where the gift comes in. See, I believe in heaven, now not literally, of course, but it's like this. There's a gift in heaven for everyone's name. Right? Somewhere up in heaven, there's a gift that says Timothy David Helm on it. Now, kids, let me ask you a question. If you look under the tree and there's gifts and it has your name on it, what does that mean? It's yours. It's yours. But let me ask you another question, kiddos. What do you have to do for it to become yours? You have to take it. Right? We could have Christmas tree and we could have a pile of gifts and it could have your name on it and it could be under the tree. But if it just stays there, is it really yours? No, it's not. See, salvation's the same. Just like the gifts under the tree, you need to go and take that gift. You need to open it and you need to accept it. You need to take it for yourselves personally. The gift of salvation is the same. See, God wants it for everybody. He wants everybody to have that free gift of salvation. But we have to choose to take it for ourselves. The Word of God tells us much about this. It tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we don't deserve a relationship with God. In Romans, it tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, we deserve to not only die physically, but we are dead spiritually in our trespasses and sins. But that verse doesn't end there. If that verse stopped right there, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. Why? Because there'd be no hope. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way to salvation, the only way to heaven, is by accepting the gift of Jesus Christ, by acknowledging that you're a sinner and by asking Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. The greatest gift that was ever given, yes, was the baby laid in a manger, but was the man who lived, who died upon the cross of Calvary, who shed his blood upon that old rugged cross, who died, but then who rose again. The greatest gift to humanity was Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation. My challenge to you this morning, if you've never accepted that gift, in just a moment, we're going to talk about it. We're going to have an invitation for you to come and accept that gift personally into your hearts and lives. May we never forget, may we never stop being thankful for the things that God gives us each and every day. The songs that were sung this morning, the joyous time of year, but may we never be distracted. May we stay focused on the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Let's close.